Akiko's bun came loose as she diligently scrubbed her dirty clothes, rubbing them over and over the smooth stones of the river. She brushed back a loose strand of gray hair so as not to get it wet as she kneeled over the babbling brook. Her wrinkled fingers were tired, but she didn't mind. Akiko liked her routine. She could get lost in it. The riverbanks were where she felt at peace, where life's disappointments couldn't bother her. Sometimes at home, she would become wistful and sad, feeling the absence of the children she never had. She had wanted a child so badly. She would think about their laughter, their games, their dreams, their... The noise startled Akiko. She looked up from the plain dress she was soaking. Akiko squinted her eyes in disbelief. A large round object bounced along the current towards her. The sphere's diameter was the size of the parasol she carried as a young girl. And like her brightly colored parasol, it was orange. As it came closer, Akiko realized it was an enormous peach. As if by magic, the large peach stopped and swirled right in front of her, tantalizing her, begging her to touch it. Her eyes grew wide, and she reached her fingers out to caress the succulent fruit. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales. Today, I'm sharing the story of Momotaro, the beloved Japanese folktale of the boy warrior. Momotaro was considered an inspiring children's story, with Momotaro himself heralded as a role model for children, generous, adventurous, and dutiful to his parents. However, the tales on this podcast are dark and sometimes scary, particularly those about the notorious supernatural demons of Japan, the Oni. We will be bringing in more info on these creatures than the original story of Momotaro contained in order to provide context for those who may be unfamiliar with Japanese folklore. Please exercise caution for children under 13. If you want to hear more tales, you can find episodes on your favorite podcast directory. While you're there, feel free to make our day by leaving a 5-star review. A new episode will release every other Saturday, so if you enjoy it, subscribe. Oni. That simple word contains much meaning to a Japanese audience. They're the stuff of nightmares and ghost stories. Cruel, sadistic boogeymen come to life. The most haunting part, and the reason that their stories are infinite, is that no two Oni are alike. Some Oni are mere mortals whose black hearts and dastardly deeds morphed them into an otherworldly villain over time. And yet others are dark, malicious spirits who inhabit the bodies of humans. The Oni are said to be the army of the underworld, coming up to collect souls for the devil. As Akiko stepped knee-deep in the river, the massive peach bobbed and bounced in front of her outstretched fingers. It was as long as her torso, and so wide around, she wondered if she could even fit her arms around it. She couldn't quite reach the peach without losing her footing. Akiko stepped back and remembered something that she had long forgotten, a little jingle that she was taught as a girl. She sang the words, charming the peach to come closer, and lo and behold, her words began to work. The fuzzy fruit whirled closer and closer, as if dancing for her, a little game they were playing, just the two of them. Finally, the peach stopped right in front of her. Akiko scooped up the fruit before it had a chance to spin back out into the current. Certainly this would be the juiciest fruit she and Yoshi would ever enjoy. She almost forgot to gather her clothes. She was in such a rush to return to her husband with this bountiful score. When Akiko returned home, Yoshi was not back yet from his day out woodcutting. She sighed impatiently. Akiko ran her fingers over the skin of the peach. It was so smooth and perfect. No bruises or imperfections. Akiko's mouth watered. She thought about taking just a quick bite and went to grab a knife when... Yoshi! She cried out and ran from the kitchen to greet her husband. Yoshi's brow was furrowed and his back was hunched from years of daily manual labor. He sat down to wash his feet in a basin. Akiko grinned at him, waiting for Yoshi to notice the massive peach on their table. Splashing his feet, Yoshi looked at his wife with a strange expression.
You seem rather excited.
Oh, it's nothing. I was just quite eager to share the peach with you, she said.
Yoshi looked unimpressed, until he saw the peach on their table.
Where did you buy that?
Akiko smiled proudly.
It appeared in the river and floated over to me when I sang to it. Let's have a bite.
Akiko picked up the knife, raised it high to plunge it into the heart of the fruit.
Wait! Don't cut me!
A terrified little voice called out from inside the peach. Akiko and Yoshi exchanged astonished looks. Had the peach really just spoken? Suddenly, the peach started to wriggle and shake. Akiko fell to the floor in fright. Had she brought a monster into the home to kill them? Yoshi grabbed his trembling wife's hand. The peach tore at the skin, peeling here and there, chunks breaking apart. Some of the juices squirted onto Akiko's face. She was still overcome with fright, and yet as some of the juice dribbled into her mouth, she couldn't help but acknowledge that this peach was incredibly delicious. On second thought, she hoped it wasn't poisonous. They watched as slowly the two halves came apart. Akiko dropped the knife. At the peach's center stood a small boy. Akiko clutched her chest. She tried her best not to pass out, but she was lightheaded and felt delirious. Akiko and Yoshi recoiled in terror as the naked little boy stepped towards them. Yoshi grabbed the knife and held it up. The little boy cocked his head with a smile and took one step further.
Not one more step, you demon! Yoshi cried.
The boy quietly shook his head. Akiko clutched her husband's shoulders as the boy silently took another step towards them. Certainly, this was how they were going to die. Some witch's spell must have enchanted her to take that cursed peach in the first place. The little boy held out his hand.
Do not be afraid.
The boy looked like an angel. Without thinking, Akiko reached for the boy.
Do not touch him, Akiko! He might cast a spell over you!
Yoshi cried. Too late. Akiko took his tiny hand. He had the softest skin, as if he were the peach itself come to life. He was a flesh and blood child.
You're real! She exclaimed.
Yoshi scoffed.
He's not real. He just stepped out of a peach.
I'm not here to hurt you. I am not a demon or changeling.
The boy spoke to them calmly.
Heaven knows that you have spent your lives praying every day for a child that never came. And now I am here as the answer to your prayers.
Akiko's jaw dropped. How could this boy know her innermost dreams? The young boy hugged Akiko's leg, and she knew he was earnest. Yoshi saw it too, and his eyes glistened as he took the boy's other hand.
We shall call you Momotaro then, son of a peach.
On his 15th birthday, Momotaro awoke to the birds chirping outside of his bedroom window like always, but something inside of him felt different. he realized he had news for his parents, and they weren't going to like it.
Happy birthday, Momotaro!
Suddenly, the door sprang open, and Akiko and Yoshi burst through, all smiles and celebration. Akiko carried in his breakfast on a tray, followed by Yoshi, who was bearing a small, modestly wrapped present. Momotaro tossed his blanket off, standing up.
Father, I need your blessing to leave. I must go.
Akiko immediately burst into tears.
How can you leave your aging mother and father?
Yoshi put his arm around Akiko's shoulders, clearly deeply offended.
Please hear me out, Momotaro insisted. You know the island besieged by Oni? They disobeyed the Emperor, and worse, are cannibals. They eat the poor people who cannot defend themselves when they invade their land and homes.
Akiko's eyes widened, but Momotaro had to continue.
I must go and vanquish them. I know that this is what I was born to do.
Yoshi cleared his throat.
The Oni can suck the souls of children out by just breathing in front of you. You cannot go.
Momotaro tried again.
Please, I ask you to give me your blessing to go on this quest. It is my one birthday wish.
Yoshi observed his son, considering.
You have always been a magical, special boy. I trust that you are guided by something we cannot understand. I give you my blessing.
Akiko finally nodded in reluctant agreement, her eyes still watery. With heavy hearts, Akiko and Yoshi watched as their son made his way down the footpath. They didn't know if they would ever see him again. We'll return to our story in just a moment. And now let's continue the story. As Momotaro made his way north, he thought a great deal about what he was going to do to the Oni. He knew that he could vanquish them, and he knew that he would, but he didn't know how. Perhaps he would think better with food in his stomach. He found a willow tree and sat under it to eat a rice cake. He chewed, contemplating his mission, until Momotaro almost jumped out of his skin. Just a few feet away was a dog as large as a pony. The dog bared its teeth and inched closer. Momotaro didn't move, but just observed, alert. Finally, the dog said,
"How dare you trespass here? Leave me all the cakes and I'll let you go with your life."
Momotaro stood up, towering over the large beast. If he was intimidated by this pipsqueak, how was he going to conquer Ogre Island? He raised his sword high.
"I am Momotaro, and I am on my way to vanquish the Oni."
The dog sat back on his hind legs and looked up at the strapping boy in awe.
"I didn't realize that you were Momotaro. Your reputation precedes you."
He put his tail between his legs and put his belly on the ground, wriggling towards Momotaro and begging,
"Please take me with you. Forgive my rudeness. I am your humble follower, Katashi, man's best friend."
Momotaro tried not to laugh. He pretended to mull this over, but secretly he was delighted. A strong, terrifying companion was just what he needed.
"All right, fine, Katashi. You can come along." "Thank you, Momotaro. I'll do whatever you say."
Katashi trotted after Momotaro along the long road to the sea, chattering on.
"One time, a boy from my village decided to play some pranks in an Oni mask. And because he was playing recklessly with black magic, the mask fused to his face. He was never able to get it off again," Katashi told Momotaro.
How horrible! Momotaro exclaimed. Katashi shook his head sadly.
And over time, his heart became dark and sinister. The monks couldn't save him, and he turned into one of them forever.
The noise from above stopped them in their tracks. Katashi howled back, ready to protect his master. Momotaro waved him to quiet down, squinting his eyes, trying to see what was above them. A monkey poked its head through a thick clump of leaves. The monkey called down with great reverence,
"Momotaro, I know about your quest. You are welcome to pass through here."
"Thank you," Momotaro replied graciously. He and Katashi kept walking. The monkey hopped down from the tree and onto the path in front of them.
"One request. Can I come with you?"
Momotaro considered it. "What is your name?"
"Haruki, and I'm here to serve you, brave Momotaro."
He bowed deeply. "You are welcome to join us. Anyone willing to defeat the demons is a friend of mine," Momotaro said. Katashi snorted and trotted off ahead, miffed. Momotaro ran and caught up with the dog. "What's wrong?" Katashi whined up at Momotaro.
"Monkeys are not friends. They're supremely annoying, and they think they're smarter than everyone else."
Haruki overheard and scampered over.
"Mongrel,"
the monkey snarled. Katashi turned and Haruki pounced, pulling the dog's ears and biting his fur. Momotaro pulled the two creatures away from each other.
"Enough! If we're going to defeat the Oni, we're going to have to get along. Can you promise to get along?" Momotaro said.
Haruki nodded. Katashi looked up at Momotaro with guilty puppy dog eyes, as if he'd done nothing wrong.
"He came after me," Katashi insisted.
Momotaro rolled his eyes.
"We are not here to fight each other, but if you insist on bickering, you can at least stay apart. Katashi, you lead."
They continued, three warriors spaced out by a good 20 paces each, Katashi leading the way, Momotaro in the middle, and Haruki pulling up the rear. Momotaro looked up at the most stunning bird he'd ever seen. It was as if it had flown straight through a rainbow. Suddenly, the bird dipped and swooped low, heading straight for Katashi.
"Katashi, look out!"
Momotaro called, but Katashi was two steps ahead of him. The dog jumped several feet in the air and grabbed the bird in its mouth, thrashing it to and fro. Momotaro and Haruki sprinted over to them. Momotaro pried the powerful dog's jaws open. Momotaro turned to the bird angrily.
"How dare you get in the way of our journey? This dog is my trusted ally in our pledge to defeat the Oni on Ogre Island. You could have blinded him."
The bird chirped apologetically.
"Forgive me, great Momotaro. My name is Sora. I didn't see you. I am just a lowly pheasant, and I humbly request your approval to join your band of warriors."
"Of course you may join."
Momotaro nodded his approval.
"You're really inviting this bird to join us? He almost murdered me."
Katashi looked at Momotaro as if he had almost lost his mind. Sora's feathers literally ruffled at Katashi's words. Momotaro took charge.
"There is no way we will defeat our enemy unless we are united amongst ourselves. Whoever fights again will be kicked out of this alliance on the spot."
Those words hushed everyone up. The journey was quiet until... Momotaro ran towards the sound. The others followed suit. They had finally reached the ocean. But as Momotaro gazed out, he saw that the sky was black and ugly, and the water perilous and rocky. this is not what he had in mind. Suddenly, everything about this venture seemed like a bad idea. Doomed, even. Momotaro didn't let the animals see the fear in his own eyes. He focused on a small boat and began pulling it to the waves. It was a bit heavy.
"Can somebody help me here?"
he called. But the trio of animals clung to each other in terror, far from the water. Momotaro admonished them.
"If you're afraid of the sea, how could you possibly be brave enough to battle a legion of cannibal demons? You are not worthy of this endeavor."
With that, Momotaro turned away, unwilling to let them see how disappointed he was. He didn't want to go it alone, but he couldn't stop now. He had a destiny. He rowed his boat into the ocean.
"Momotaro, wait!"
Momotaro couldn't help himself. He turned to see Sora flying rapidly towards him, carrying Haruki in his massive talons. Haruki waved his long monkey arms wildly, terrified.
"You can't leave us here. It's cruel,"
Sora called out.
"Don't abandon us,"
Haruki called. Momotaro saw Katashi trying to swim to the boat. A wave knocked him under, and Momotaro feared the dog was going to drown. Katashi paddled back to the surface, sputtering, but another wave came just as quickly. He slipped under again and didn't pop back up. Momotaro dove into the rocky waves, searching for Katashi. The salt stung his eyes, but he wouldn't close them until he laid eyes on his friend. There, the dog was sinking, nowhere near the surface. Momotaro swam with all his strength, like a torpedo through the water. He grabbed Katashi and pulled the hulking dog with all of his might. At first, the frantic animal started to pull Momotaro down with him, but finally Momotaro was able to subdue his panic and swim steadily to the surface. At the surface, Sora and Haruki helped Momotaro and Katashi into the boat. Once in, they all collapsed in a heap.
"Don't leave us behind again," Katashi said between labored breaths. "Maybe next time, learn to swim before you jump in the ocean," Momotaro teased.
The group burst into laughter. They were safe. They were all on the ship, and at long last, getting along. As soon as the shoreline was out of sight, it was as if the dark and stormy weather had never been there at all. The breeze was tranquil and the sun was bright, but not too hot. The group relaxed. Even Katashi seemed to recover from his near-death experience. He closed his eyes and let the sun dry his fur.
"I don't see Oni Island,"
noted Haruki, squinting into the distance. Momotaro stood at the helm of their small boat and covered his eyes with his hand.
"You're right. I thought I could see it, but now it's gone."
There was nothing in front of them except open, endless, bright blue water. The island appeared, a speck on the horizon, then retreated from sight, a mirage. But Momotaro continued to stare into the distance, as if trying to will the island into being.
"I'm not taking my eyes off of that horizon."
Katashi's ears pricked up.
"Do you hear that?"
"Hear what?"
Haruki said, and cutting across the sky like a lightning bolt, they all heard it. Suddenly, Ogre Island was right in front of them, 50 yards away, as if it had just popped up from the depths of the sea. Their boat glided through the clear water as if being pulled towards the island magnetically, and the screaming continued. We'll return to our story in just a moment from the Parcast Network. And now, back to our story. As the boat washed ashore, Momotaro looked around. He didn't know where the demons were, if they were asleep or keeping guard, or where the dungeons were. Haruki, Katashi, and Sora all exchanged glances. They were waiting on Momotaro. It was his duty to make the plan, but he still wasn't sure if he had one. Finally, Momotaro turned to Sora.
"Sora, you have great wings. Please fly at once and scout out the surroundings for us. Find the demons and engage them to fight. Report back to us, and we will follow you to begin our takeover."
Sora nodded and flew off, soaring over the dark fir trees protecting the island till he found the high castle walls. Sora wove his way through the lookouts and found a group of Oni in the inner courtyard, sharpening weapons on stone. Some had horns, some had cracked, blistering flesh. They all gave him the chills, but he mustered his courage. Sora perched on the roof and called down to them. Slowly, the voices below quieted down, and they looked up at the brightly colored bird, deeply out of place in this ashen world.
"Listen, demons!"
They stared upward. He had their attention. Sora continued.
"The imposing Japanese General Momotaro is here to wage war. However, if you surrender now and break off your horns in an act of surrender, we will take this place peacefully, and you may keep your lives. If you refuse these conditions, then we will come with military force."
The demons doubled over in laughter. Finally, the largest of the bunch, a terrifying-looking beast with massive curled horns and a snout for a nose, looked up and addressed him.
"A wild pheasant here to overtake our island. You wouldn't stand a chance. Come down here and get a closer look."
He held up an iron bar with spikes on it. It looked like it could kill Sora with one blow. As the laughter subsided, the mood turned quickly to rage. Suddenly, demons streamed out the upper watchtowers, crawling across the roof with massive spiked iron bars. They came right toward Sora. They were surrounding him. There was no way he could get away. On the rocky beach, Momotaro worried about Sora. He put on a strong face for Katashi and Haruki, but the pheasant should have been back by now. He couldn't formulate his plan without knowing the castle's blueprints or where else the Oni may be. The castle was surrounded by high walls and iron gates. It was impossible for them to breach this fortress without... Wait. It was a warning call. Danger. Momotaro looked to the sky. "Sora needs our help." He set aside the plan. They'd get in any way they could. They'd been following the stream for hours, and yet Momotaro, Haruki, and Katashi were still on the same side of the castle wall with no entrance in sight. Sora's chirps for help had ended long ago. Momotaro still desperately hoped to find a bridge that could take them across. Instead of a bridge, they spotted two beautiful young maidens washing bloody clothes in the river. The women hunched over the stream, crying softly. They scrubbed the cloth furiously, but no blood ran through the water. It seemed like the blood would never come out, despite their efforts. Momotaro approached them tentatively. "Who are you? Why are you crying?" The women turned to him, surprised. Momotaro held up his hands.
"I'm not here to hurt you," he assured them.
Katashi wagged his tail, and Haruki smiled to prove he was friendly too. One stood up. She was tall and slender, with a regal bearing, clearly not a servant by birth.
"My name is Akane," she said. "I am the daughter of a nobleman, but I was kidnapped 2 years ago, and..."
Her voice quivered, and she couldn't go on. The smaller, younger girl behind her stood up and introduced herself as Fujiko. Fujiko had scars up and down her arms, and she didn't even bother wiping the blood streaming down from her lip.
"The demon lord is going to kill us and eat us," Akane whispered. "We never know if it will be today or tomorrow."
She shook her head. The teardrops rolled down her pale cheek. Akane held up the corner of her dress, stained a horrifying crimson.
"This is for refusing to join him in his bed last night. I was chained in the dungeon and whipped instead."
She looked down and started to cry again. Fujiko came up and held her hand in comfort.
"Worry not. I am here to rid this island of these demons once and for all. I will rescue you and bring you home safe to your families."
Momotaro held out his hand. Akane and Fujiko looked up at him with a tentative glimmer of optimism. The group looked up above the castle and finally saw Sora flapping his wings and dodging iron bars and fireballs and an onslaught of demon fury.
"Please, hurry! Show us how to get into the castle. That is our friend Sora, and he needs our help," Momotaro pleaded.
Akane and Fujiko nodded.
"Follow us."
They were quick and silent as they darted through the trees, as if they had learned to be invisible. They followed the girls stealthily, hoping to get to Sora before it was too late. Momotaro and Katashi exchanged glances. That was the scream they had heard before.
"Who is that?"
Momotaro whispered.
"Another human?"
Akane nodded. Fujiko put her finger to her lips, motioning for Momotaro to be quiet.
"The Oni are preparing dinner."
She pointed towards a low iron grate at the bottom of the castle. The dungeon. Momotaro shuddered. They crept quietly to a small back door at the lowest part of the castle wall. The group poured out into a dimly lit hallway, candles flickering in sconces, creating shadows on the walls. As they passed through a hallway, they were funneled into the banquet hall, where there was a feast in progress. In front of each Oni were plates stacked high with human body parts, a brain in a soup dish, intestines draped across candelabra and sucked on as if this were a refined feast of delicacies. Momotaro thought he might vomit at the sight of the guts and shards of bones tossed on tables. The blood on the floor was so slick that he would slip if he wasn't careful.
"That's the Oni Lord."
Akane pointed to the demon at the head of the long table. The Oni Lord raised a still beating heart over the sea of Oni, who cheered at the toast. Then he licked it, smearing blood on his face, before sinking his teeth in. The Oni Lord caught sight of Momotaro in the corner of the room. He cocked his head, studying the strange intruder. The other Oni noticed he was staring at something strangely and turned to see. The entire room descended into silence as the demons saw Momotaro. The Oni Lord pointed at Momotaro.
"We eat him next."
The Oni jumped up from the table in glee, ready for a new piece of flesh to gnaw on. They made their way to the corner of the room. Akane and Fujiko gasped and shrunk back, while Katashi stepped forward and bared his teeth, ready for war. Momotaro led the charge with his iron fan, stunning the Oni with his strength and relentlessness. Even with their black magic, the Oni were no force for the strength and bravery of Momotaro and his crew. Haruki the monkey wielded a sword Momotaro had given him, slicing demons left and right. Some turned to ash when he ran his blade through them. Some continued to live even after they were split in two. One ghastly pale demon's disembodied head chased Haruki, snapping at him. Haruki grabbed a rock and smashed the biting head to pieces. Sora burst through the high ceiling of the banquet hall, talons out, clawing and plucking out the eyes of every demon in sight. Like a sheepdog, Katashi corralled a group of Oni and chased them into the sea, watching them drown and wither in the tide. As he brought his fan down on the head of a fire-breathing demon with a sliced lizard tongue, he turned wearily to see the Oni Lord walking slowly towards him, eyes glowering. Momotaro braced himself to fight to the death. But to Momotaro's surprise, the demon threw down his iron bar and fell at Momotaro's feet. The Lord Demon broke off his own horns and tossed them on the ground, showing his surrender. He lowered his head in submission.
"Please spare my life. I see that I am no match for you. Take this island. Take these riches. They are yours, worthy opponent. I just ask that you spare me."
Momotaro observed the man. He considered this, but knew the Oni could never be trusted.
"You deserve no mercy, but I will spare your life."
Katashi, Haruki, and Sora carried over heavy chains. They locked the Oni Lord in shackles, confining him so he could never get away. With the capture of their leader, all others submitted. As soon as the Oni Lord was captured, Haruki and Katashi ran through the dank, dark dungeon, liberating the prisoners, many of whom had long since resigned themselves to being eaten. The deed was done. Momotaro had defeated the Oni. The victorious clan took the ships the Oni would never use again and set sail back to the mainland. Momotaro brought the captive Oni Lord along. The Oni Lord would remain his prisoner, proof of Momotaro's great victory and all he had overcome. Momotaro became a hero throughout the land, but no one could have been happier than Akiko and Yoshi. With the bounty he returned with, they would indeed never have to lift a finger again, but they were more overjoyed to have their son back, safe and sound. The little boy who came from the peach was now immortalized as the warrior hero of Japan. Momotaro's cultural influence is so profound, it's led to an annual celebration of his triumphs in Japan. And because of the popularity of Momotaro, he's been frequently used as an allegory in modern Japanese culture. Momotaro was said to represent the Japanese government during World War II, and the people of Japan were the supportive dog, pheasant, and monkey. To this day, his story continues to inspire the children of Japan with his loyalty and bravery, what a young person can accomplish if you just set your mind to it. Thanks for listening to Tales.
If you want to listen to more tales, you can find us and subscribe on your favorite podcast directory or listen on Parcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, we'd truly appreciate a 5-star review. Tales was created by Max Cutler. It is a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, sound designed by Ron Shapiro, with production assistance by Paul Mahler. Additional production assistance by Maggie Admire and Carly Madden. Tales is written by Gina Machusik. I'm Vanessa Richardson.